This is the National Public Broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, and now Imam Muhammad.
Let's look to Mr. Piranha. Let's look at what he did. We think, it's Mr. Piranha. How did he come about this knowledge? If you study the time that he was living in, and the world, the situation, because that's where he started, the United States, study it. And you'll find out where he got all of his, most of what he said, or most of what he put together as the message of the Nation of Islam to the black man, or the message of Islam like Muhammad to the black man. You will see it. When Mr. Farad came, there were whites who were predicting the end of their own world. Whites. Very intelligent whites. They had written books predicting the end of the white world. Henry Ford. I'm missing him because you know something about cars. He made the Ford car. And the Ford motors made the Lincoln. The Lincoln, the big Lincoln that all that you all like. Some of you got them too. He ran America. That if something wasn't done to set the Jews were going to take over this country. Corrupt the life of the people and take over the country. That was his warning. Now I'm not saying I buy anything of what he said. This is not to point to anything as being correct or incorrect. That's not my purpose. Just to share with you what was happening back there in that time. So many people, Jehovah Witnesses and many others, were talking about the end of the world. So there was nothing for this man that taught my father to come up with the same message. The end of this world is coming. What else did he do that seems to puzzle us sometimes? Where did he come? Where did he get this from? He called us Asiatic. Right. He didn't call us African. Right. He said you are the Asiatic black man. Where did he get that from? Nobuju Ali, who headed the Moorish Science Temple. He brought about that order. He's the founder of it. Nobuju Ali called all of his followers Asiatic. They were the black Asiatics. And they still do call themselves Asiatics. They haven't gone anywhere. There are most Americans around now. You can verify what I'm telling you. They call themselves Asiatics. So Mr. Farad got that from Duarte, Asiatics. He founded the Nation of Islam. No, he conceived the Nation of Islam and charged my father with the building of it. My father actually built it. But he conceived, it was his idea he gave to my father, the Nation of Islam. Was there anything like that before? The first one to bring nationalism, black nationalism, to us was a man who was preaching and known, and his picture was appearing in the newspapers of the city, Detroit. He was originally from Jamaica. Yes, the Honorable Marcus God had already started teaching that we are nation and we should have our own nation. And he wasn't teaching that message just for us in America. It was the what he called Universal Negro Movement, Universal Black People's Movement. Everywhere, on the African continent, in the islands of the Caribbean, in America, wherever we were, he was appealing to us to come together and identify ourselves as one people and build our own concept of our nation or nationalism. That's what he was doing. So Farad didn't get that totally out of his own head either. There was already a black man doing that. This man was doing that in 1922. Farad didn't even come until 1930. 8 years later. And I'm sure he didn't come from outside, he was already inside. He was inside seeing what was happening and thinking about it and getting an idea of how to put it all together and make it whole. See, you didn't know what I meant when I said whole earlier. I didn't only mean whole in the New Testament. I mean whole as a person living in a real world. He He also said man is God, the black man is God. Oh, nobody said that but him. How come? Father divine, big preacher Detroit. He told his followers that if you want to see Jesus, look at me. And the reception be called Father Divine. Father Divine says God. That's what it says, Father Divine. And then praying he connected himself with Jesus. He didn't want them to see a white Jesus. He was the first, before Gerard, before my father. He didn't want our people in Christianity to see a white Jesus. He wanted them to see an African picture of Jesus. And he told them that when you look at me, you're seeing Jesus. And he was called Father Divine. So what did Gerard do? There were other things happening too. Booker T. Washington. He's the one who built the city. Took students and taught them how to take the clay out of earth, shape the clay, bake the clay, get the brick, and build the building. You can go down there right now like I have done, and you see those big buildings, many of them standing, because they have been kept up. That were built by his students under his leadership. Booker T. Washington. And there he also had George Washington's father working right there at Tuskegee. Black scientist, a human scientist, a man whose scientific contribution to the world of agriculture is much bigger than you've ever imagined. That man was much bigger than peanuts. He taught the world of agriculture to rotate crops so that one crop doesn't deplete the land. Rotate it. And you'll have better crops year-round. There was that man who did that for all Americans and for all the world. He did that. He's known all over the world by agriculturists, scientists in the field. George Washington Carver, known all over the world. And not the peanuts. And we know he did all those wonders with peanuts. But what we missed, the white man wanted to put, the bad white man, not the good white man, the bad white man wanted you to put your mind on just the peanuts so you wouldn't see what he did for American agriculture. They were planting cotton, and the cotton was eating up the land, eating the minerals, and eating up the value of the land. And they just kept planting the cotton over and over, and the land, after all, the land won't grow nothing, won't grow peas, won't grow string beans. So he said, plant the cotton, but the next year, after 2 or 3 years, I don't know exactly how much time, but he said, plant something else there. And plant the cotton somewhere else. So he taught them to rotate crops. They didn't have it before. But what else he did? He knew that black people from slavery had in their genes, in the new genes, to rebel against any boss. What black slave you think liked to be the boss that he had over him, that the white people were bossing him and his family and his children and everybody else? They didn't like that. They had to work for the white man. They had to obey him or be whipped or killed. But they didn't like it. And there was exceptions, like we learned in the study of Frederick Douglass' life, that his first master was a kind master. Sees him well, respected him as a human being, and wants to see him have the opportunity to develop his mind, his intellect, and help him create a situation where he could learn and educate himself. But that's rare. So he had to give Frederick Douglass up. The next master was a bad one. So Frederick Douglass had experienced a different treatment. He couldn't take that from that bad master. So one day he hit him and knocked him out, and he ran and never came back. He ended up in the north. Yes. Booker T. Washington was a genius in his own right. He realized that there was a spirit in us to rebel against authority. There was a spirit in us to rebel against any attempt to discipline us or to give us some kind of orientation, or regimentation, or orientation. And you have to have that on a campus. You just can't come there behaving like you want to. Yeah, there has to be a behavior set up for the student on the campus. So to get them to accept that, to come out of that spirit of rebelling and resisting anyone who wants to direct their life or order their life, he created military drill in the school of Tuskegee. They had to take military drill. Pentecost, we had to take it in the Nation of Islam. Pentecost, at ease. And you're not supposed to think. My pod, mark, left, left, left. You know what that means? You ain't supposed to be thinking, you're supposed to be just listening and obeying. That's what that left means. Start on the left. You start off on the left foot. You don't do anything but listen and obey. Don't bring your own mind into it. Start off on the left. See, the left side is the unconscious side, the side you were born with. The right side is symbolic of the conscious side, your mind. So you let your mind be still and sleep in bed. Just listen to the sergeant or to whoever's calling cadence and just do what he says without thinking about it. That's a soldier, right? That's what you have to do, a soldier in drill. That's what you have to do. He can't be thinking about it, he's just listening to obey what he hears. I know. He said, you're better. I know. That's right. Out of the line you go. And if we didn't take it on the Nation of Islam, you might have gone in the back for a little exercise. And the exercise would be you trying to get away from those licks. So he didn't even originate that. It was already there in us. That effort was already started for black people, for the betterment of black people. And then military drill was already in succeeding. But he brought it into his country, his nation of Islam, military drill. The emphasis on having your own, you think that came from Mr. Ron? No. All the nationalist movements had it. And also Drew Ali's movement had it. I'm not saying anything that can't be found documented. Everything I'm saying to you today is documented. You can go do your research. The newspapers, magazines will tell you, if you go back to that time, it will tell you about Drew Ali, about Garvey, all these people I'm mentioning. They are in history. It's documented. The Moore Science Temple had their own cab line. You hear that? Their own taxi line. The Moore Science Temple had stores, businesses, and trucks. Way back there. In the early 30s, late 20s, and early 30s. They lost it all. The Nation of Islam lost most of that too. When Abdullah Muhammad died. Right. Lost track of everything. All the material achievements, track of all of it. Why? These movements that are foreign and alien in the system of the country, they plan for your demise. And it's just a matter of time. They'll catch you at the right time. And they knock you down and they take everything from you. In the name of taxes or something. They take everything from you. So it didn't happen to us, and never happened to anybody else. It was just a pattern. And the same thing happened to the Nation of Islam. I know what you heard. Wallace came in and changed everything and gave up this and that. No, I fought for it to the last. Yes. As long as you were willing to fight, I was fighting. In fact, I was fighting when your spirit had gone to fight. I was fighting for our property. And I didn't see many ministers in the court with me either, trying to fight and save the property. So you liars, be ashamed of yourself. And you had no spirit, the leaders. In the Temple of Islam, they had no spirit to fight for it because the Elijah Muhammad had told them, we're going to lose all of this. That's what he told them. Hey, we're going to lose all of this. I was at Farrakhan recently, in fact, just 2 days ago. At his invitation, I went to his home and sat with him. He had a beautiful meeting, beautiful time. And he said, yes, he said, your father said that it had to fall. He said, but it will rise again. So he struggled to bring it up again. And he had done a good job. He added a lot that has accounted for progress for his followers, the members of the Nation of Islam. And his recent position that he's taken has convinced me that Farrakhan is now in the posture that we should accept, embrace him as a brother. I'm going to Jummah that they are having on the 27th, I think. No, 25th or 24th. 25th or 24th, 24th or 25th. And to Farrakhan's address that he will make Sunday on Savior's Day, the 27th. Yeah, because the 26th is Saturday. And on Saturday, I understand that Qaddafi is going to speak, come in on stream, as he did in one other gap. But I won't be able to make that. I won't be there Saturday. I don't agree with Qaddafi coming in and speaking to our people. Now, you say, well, how come you going to go to Jummah and say today? You all have to get out of that. You don't have to have 100% in your favor to join together for the betterment of our people.
We will return to today's broadcast after this important announcement. Imam W.D. Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman, will be making appearances throughout the country, and those wishing to support his mission of propagation and community assistance are asked to send their contributions made payable to Ministry of W.D. Muhammad and mail to Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois 60409. And now back to today's program.
You don't have to have 100% in your favor to join together for the betterment of our people. If you get 51%, man, go. Join the effort. You can do more together than you can do separate. So that ain't no difficulty. My difficulty is when you perceive God wrongly, when you're given the wrong picture of God. That's my difficulty. When you're perceiving human nature wrong and giving the wrong picture of human nature to people. That's my difficulty. Once you get past that difficulty, oh man, I'm gonna walk with you. You can stick the back out of one side of your head and then lick it with a tongue coming out of your chest. I see I'm walking with a strange creature here, but he's going the same way place I'm going, and we're gonna walk together. Yeah, he got a spirit to go where I wanna go, we're gonna walk together. And I don't see anything in Mr. Farrakhan but beauty. I saw him. He's a beautiful man, a beautiful person. I saw nothing but goodness radiating on his face and in his eyes. The man is free. And he's a great man. And I ask you to support him like I'm going to support him. Yeah, so, look, I don't see anything new. He said, inshallah, if God's will. He said, if God will. That's what Muslims say when they want to say, I don't know if I can do that or not. That's what they do when they do another risky thing. Ain't no inshallah. He's trying to pull the cover over. Yeah. You see, I pulled the cover up and you saw the naked thing. Over there. I done met too many Muslims overseas. never hear God come out of their mouth until you ask them to do something that calls for a little courage, moral courage, Muslim courage, and then they can inshallah. Inshallah. If God wants it better, if God will, inshallah. That's my friend there now. I want you all to know I love this brother very much. And he's a big helper to us. And he's a good man. And he's a real believer in God. But something in him, he's uncomfortable with me saying, let's go and support Minister Parker. So he has, inshallah. And I don't have military drill anymore. You know. But back then we had military drill, I said, brother, you're supposed to say I hear and I obey. But that day is out. He can hear and disobey. The great God of the universe revealed to Muhammad that the true believers should say, I hear and I obey. But when Satan didn't like what God was about to do, have a world of mankind, with mankind in charge, under God, Satan said, I don't trust human beings with this kind of responsibility. And Allah said that Satan felt proud of himself and much above man, and he refused to obey God. And God then said to Satan, Satan, you're supposed to hear and obey. But he told Satan, if that's your way, then be eschewed from here. Get out of this heavenly state and go down into the earth where I'm going to put this man to work out his life. So get down from here. All you all together. So he just banished him, but he didn't deprive him of the freedom to do whatever he wanted to do. So I follow my God and my leader, Muhammad the Prophet. And I ain't gonna tell you, you're not free to do whatever you want to do. But if you stay up this place that I'm in, man, I'm gonna tell you, get down from here. I won't have to stay up the place. There, I got to be healthy. As long as you get out healthy, you can have your own mind. We'll talk it, we can discuss it. But some of them have no respect at all. You got to have respect. And I'm not talking to Imam, he has great respect. Imam Khayyar Rahman. We all have to respect each other. I respect all of you, all of my co-workers. They can tell you I respect them. They can speak. In fact, they speak over me sometimes. They be talking, I can't hardly get a word in Israel. But that's human. And I tolerate that. Sometimes I wish I had a captain in the room to bring order to the room. But we manage, and we love each other, and we get things done. Yeah. And that's the way you ought to be. The picture of yourself as being special, more important than the next person, or having some kind of right to exercise your authority and your intelligence and your power for your own benefit. So you say, well, I'm powerful enough to get all of them to do what I say and not question me. I'm powerful to herd them like sheep and drive them and put them in a corral like horses or cows. Say, I'm powerful enough to do that, I'm going to do it. No, you should be like me. Too much flattery, I turn it away. That's too much for me. I can't be possible with all that trick. I don't deserve all that. I'm not that. You should be like me. So all this freedom I got to be your leader, to be your majestic, I have the freedom to be your next savior if I wanted to take that freedom. I could introduce myself as the next savior and you all would have followed me. As long as I just went and followed you, kept soothing you the way you were being soothed, kept satisfying your mind the way you were being satisfied, you would have supported me as God in the flesh. But I wouldn't accept that. Right now, I could go out there and start a new movement and do it with a different mind, different intention, and I'd have hundreds of thousands of people giving me hundreds of thousands of dollars every day. Every day. I know I have the ability to do that. But I'm here, the same person I was when my father opened a big a sachet case, put money in it, loaded the dollars. He opened it. And had another one that he didn't open. I don't know what was in that one, maybe money or a pistol. I can't say what was in the other one, but he left one closed. And he opened the one that was filled with money. And then he started talking to me. He didn't even start talking to me until he opened that big, sachet case and let me see all that money that was in there. Because he was trying me. I was there for a hearing. I was being tried for saying that Mr. Farrar was not God. So he said, "Well, son," he said, "this is a hearing." It wasn't no hearing, it was a court. Because he executed judgment on me right there at that table, and I left out of the house banished, put out of the nation of Islam. So it wasn't a hearing, it was a court. He said, "And I have Raymond Sharif here." That was the captain, the Supreme Captain. Raymond Sharif, he said, "My son had a father." He said, "Is this true?" "What?" I said, "Yes, sir." "How could you?" "I could not believe that this is our Savior. When you know the condition your father was in before he came." I said, "Daddy, he's your Savior." I said, "But if anything, you are my Savior." I knew that would work. But I knew I was going to get put out. I knew I was going to get put out. But I knew I knew I left something there that would work for me while I'm gone. My boy said, "I'll do things." And I said it very cautiously. Because he has saved all of us from a lot of misery, trouble, mental confusion, etc. He has saved a lot of us from seeing ourselves as inferior people and ashamed to identify with Africans, ashamed to identify with our black skin and everything, wanting to conk the hair, look like a white man or somebody else other than an African. You know, wearing makeup, not knowing you and all that stuff. And make your skin brighter. I know the bad condition that our people are in. And using hot combs till it gets straight, frying that hair, whole house smelling with hair, smelling like hair at all, hair and flesh and all. Frying that hair, smoke signals, smoke going up from the head of the lady. In the house, burning hair, you know? So I knew where we came from, even my Savior, our Savior. You know what Reverend Jesse Jackson told me once? He said, "Do you know we call your father when we meet?" He said, "We call him Father." Now here's Reverend Jesse Jackson telling me that they call in private meetings, the African American leaders in his association call my father Father. You know what Minister Farrar tried to call my father when I was at his house? He said, "Your father," he said, "and hesitated." He said, "And my father." That's true. Donald Elijah Muhammad knew that the white man had took the position of parent in our life. So I don't think he planned it. I think it's just natural for him. Say, "I'm taking that position." And he actually spoke to us like all of us were his children. "Get that, get out of these silly habits. Taming yourself in the street. Making a fool out of yourself. Stop that ignorance. Clean up yourself. Be responsible for something. Clean up your houses." That's daddy talking. With mama's support. Oh, baby, I'm telling you. We got something. We got something.
Join us next time for the national public broadcast of W. Dean Muhammad, Muslim American spokesman. For more on the ministry of Imam Muhammad, call 1-708-862-7733. All right, Post Office Box 1061, Calumet City, Illinois, 60409. for Muslim Journal, see local distributor. And thanks for listening.
Local distributor.